President Biden is in Poland today, ahead of the one-year mark of Russia's invasion of Ukraine this coming Friday. He addressed thousands of spectators waving Polish, U.S., and Ukrainian flags in the Royal Castle Gardens in Warsaw.
There should be no doubt. Our support for Ukraine will not waver. NATO will not be divided, and we will not tire.
NPR's Frank Langford has been following the president's speech from the Ukrainian capital of Kyiv. And Frank, this speech came just after the president's historic surprise visit to Kyiv yesterday. What else did the president have to say today?
Well, you know, Robin, I was listening to the speech, and it was a bit of a mix of sort of what almost sounded like Cold War rhetoric, but also to some degree a bit of like Star Wars imagery. You know, he kind of describes the war in Ukraine as part of this larger battle between democracy and autocracy, light and dark. And he talked about it as a choice between democracy lifting up the human spirit and what he called the brutal hand of dictators who crush it. And he said that decisions that countries make over the next 5 years will really shape the world for decades. And this is how he put it.
The enemy of the tyrant and the hope of the brave and the truth of the ages, freedom. Stand with us. We will stand with you.
It's been a couple days of speeches for the president, as we hear, and he's been trying to show that the U.S. and Europe are behind Ukraine still. But there are more than two dozen NATO allies in Europe. Remind us why the president chose Poland.
Yeah, I mean, Poland has really been pivotal in this war. When Biden was there, he talked about that Poland has welcomed in 1.5 million refugees. And also, he didn't talk about this so much, but it's become this enormous hub for military aid. Most of the weaponry comes through Poland. And that's made Poland vastly more strategic for Europe in the last year. And also Poland, I should say, Robin, I've been talking to Polish folks at NATO. They are really arming up. They're building, they're buying HIMARS, in the process of trying to buy HIMARS rockets from the United States. And they're in the process of also buying 1,000 tanks from South Korea. And this is kind of, you look at Poland, it's a way of seeing how the war has been transforming the political landscape in Europe.
Yeah. Well, this is about Biden speaking to the people in front of him, but it's also about world leaders speaking to each other over the heads of people in front of them, because just hours earlier, Russian President Putin delivered his much-anticipated speech in Moscow. What did he say? And can you compare the two speeches?
Yeah, I mean, it's a completely different narrative. And he sees, as you would think, sees things very differently. While President Biden talks about the Russian invasion, President Putin sees Russia essentially as a resilient victim. He said Russia had defeated the sanctions. And indeed, the economy is in much better shape, Robin, than many had expected. And he says the war in Ukraine was really started by the West. And he blamed NATO expansion, which he sees as a direct threat. This is how he put it.
The responsibility is on the West and, of course, on the Ukrainian elite and their government. Ukrainian government today does not serve national interests. It serves the interests of the third countries. And they use Ukraine as a military base for fighting Russia. But the more they send weapons to Ukraine, the more we will have to respond to the security situation on the borders of Russia.
And I want to add something here, Robin. You know, Putin also made a nod to the sacrifices of Russian soldiers. He promised to take care of military families with tax cuts and free vacations, things like that. If you listen to the two speeches together, though, I think what you kind of come away with is this grand conflict over the post-Cold War order, which was built by the United States and NATO after the fall of the Berlin Wall and the collapse, breakup of the Soviet Union. And Putin hates that order. He thinks it's very much the disadvantage of Russia, and he rejects it. And ultimately, in a way, he's expressed that by invading, sending his troops in and invading Ukraine.
Yeah. Interesting that he would even acknowledge the losses from military families. They've been huge. And you've been in the eastern Ukrainian region, the Donbas, for a week. That's been the site of some of the fiercest fighting. How are Russians faring there?
Oh, well, I think it has been absolutely awful in Bakhmut, as everybody knows. People that I know who've been going into Bakhmut, there are times where shells are falling every 2 to 3, 4 seconds, and I've talked to people who've been pulled out of there. The Ukrainian soldiers that I've met with, they describe Russia's Wagner group, this mercenary group, sending prisoners towards Ukrainian lines. And if the Ukrainians kill them, then the Russian soldiers in the back lines use that as a way to figure out where the Ukrainian positions are. Mm. But the losses to the Russians have been very, very high. The losses to the Ukrainians have been high. And I think the sense I get is that the people now who are fighting on both sides, who are coming into these armies, are very young. They're not that well-trained. They're not necessarily terribly motivated. And, you know, the fatality rates are very, very high.
Yeah, that's quite chilling, the sense of sending prisoners out as decoys to find out where the Ukrainians are. NPR's Frank Langfitt reporting from Kyiv. Frank, thanks and stay safe.
Thanks. It's good to talk, Robin.